PW Torch Livecast is brought to you today by Audible, a leading provider of audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. And by the good people at lootcrate.com. Remember, April is Quest Month, and you can save $3 off your purchase with the code PWTorch.
And what happened, we would normally push them in the pool.
Right.
And the look on someone's face when you shove them, and they're in the air, and they're saying to themselves, no. And they realize that they're completely, totally wet. Watch the whole deal. It is one of the funniest things in the world.
What?
Super Saturday? What is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday? Can he afford to pay me to wrestle around? I don't know. I'm one of the biggest legends and stars ever in this. God! And your t-shirts are too tight too, Billy!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
It's a spot for
kids. Hello, you people. Today is Wednesday, April the 13th, 2016. I am your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest-running weekday episode of pro wrestling podcast in the world. This is the PW Torch Livecast. Your Wednesday intro song is Sport for Kings by Kids on Bridges, the official artist of the PW Torch Livecast, available on iTunes. Sounds like this. Raffling and fun, and if you're not careful, 60 plus minutes of raffling and fun, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something before we're done. We are taking your call, 646-721-9828, here on Blog Talk Radio. We are taking your emails, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. The chat room, of course, is open at pwtorchlivecast.com, and you can send your Twitter questions in to me at RealPatMcNeil. Okay, now, here.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do, so it really makes me happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the TNA Wrestling Heavyweight Champion of the World, Mr. Drew Galloway. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, Drew.
Sweet sound effects. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad I actually got through. I was a bit concerned there. Wasn't going to work. Yeah. I'm in London right now. It's 1 in the morning. I just finished an eight-hour day of doing some crazy fighting on top of some shipping containers in a shipping yard. So it's been a wild day.
Shipping containers? What are you? Okay. Well, I mean, I guess the champ has to, you know, shipping containers, opening a Shoney's, you know, that's the sort of duties that champ has to perform.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. You never know what each day is going to bring. It's been wild, but it's been fun.
Yeah, now, at one point, you know, several years ago, Vince McMahon introduced you to the WWE audience as a future world champion. He probably had no idea that you would be a world champion for a different wrestling organization, I'm guessing.
So. Oh, well, Vince has the powers to see the future. Maybe not predict exactly when things are going to happen, but he is a bit of a mystic, so he was right. He wasn't wrong.
That's very true. First of all, since it happened since the last time we talked to you, congratulations on becoming the TNA champion. Now, last night on Impact, airing over here in the United States, you were wrestling in a tag team match. You were teaming up with Jeff Hardy against Tyrus and against Matt Hardy, and you were brutally attacked for no good reason by Bobby Lashley. How have you recovered from that?
Sure. I don't think you ever recover when Bobby Lashley handles you in any way, never mind running into you as fast as he can. He's a big man. He's a legit man. I think the good reason is probably the fact I have the title. If you've noticed the past few weeks, it seems like everybody's out for Drew Galloway. But that's just fine with me. As long as I leave every show with the title, then I'm doing my job. But yeah, he's a big man, and there's going to be some hard-hitting fights coming up. I can guarantee you that.
Yes, TNA's tapings of the next tapings of Impact are going to start a week from tomorrow, or if you're in London, a week from today in Orlando, the 21st through 24th. And TNA's next major pay-per-view is Slammiversary, which will be taking place in Orlando sometime in June. I know it might happen before then, but do you think that there's a possibility that Bobby Lashley will be your challenger for that?
Well, you can never say, but certainly say he's in line, and if there's anybody ahead of him in line, there's a good chance he's going to smash them to get ahead of them in line. So I can probably guarantee a Drew Galloway, Bobby Lashley match in the future. And as I said, it's going to be a different level. So that he's legit. He's undefeated in the Bellator. And I got to up my game every time I fight him. I've got a scar in my hand. I'm looking at it right now on my thumb from where I caught him in the face one time to remind me of Bobby Lashley for the rest of my life. From our first ever match together, we've had two matches. They were both wars, and the world title on the line. It's going to be different level stuff.
So you hit Bobby Lashley in the face and you hurt your hands.
Jeez. That's pretty much the case. I hit Bobby Lashley in the face and I have a scar for life.
Yeah. That's that sounds tough. You also have this guy Tyrus, who apparently who can cash in a title shot at any point, and is talking about. He's talking a lot about going after you for the title. He hasn't done it yet, though.
So he hasn't. Yeah, he's a big man and a big talented man. So I think people have got to see a little bit of what he can do. And you know, if I was able to predict the future, and I was able to predict, you know, that we would have a match in the future, I'm going to, you know, predict that this match is going to shock people. You know, I think a lot of people have underestimated Big Tyrus and the level that he can go at. And if I could predict the future, and he did cash in that shot, and we did have that match, I would strongly suggest watching it, because I think a lot of people will be very, very happily surprised.
Okay.
That's just if I can predict the future, of course.
Of course, but you can't, because you're not Vince McMahon, for one thing.
That's right.
And in addition to that, you've also got a couple more appearances in the States. May 6th at Evolve 60, it will be in New York. It'll be you taking on Ethan Page. And then Evolve 61 on May 7th in Queens. The main event is Drew Galloway versus your former tag team partner, Johnny Gargano, who has also been on the show a couple times. That's a match I think a lot of fans are looking forward to.
That's a match that's certainly going to turn some heads. It's going to be a different kind of match than last time Johnny and I wrestled, which was last year during WrestleMania weekend, or wrestling weekend, as I like to call it. So I always say the biggest wrestling fans from across the world come together for that week, and they come to all the shows, like the Evolve shows, the CZW shows, the WrestleCon shows. There's just so many, you know, shows, the smorgasbord of the best professional wrestling shows, the Ring of Honors, and everything's in town. It is wrestling week, not just Mania week. And last year, it was myself and Gargano for the Evolve and Dragon Gate title. And, you know, we tore it up. I was lucky enough to win that match. You know, this year, he's not so happy with me. You know, we were tag team champions. I had a few things to say after the match. And, you know, he wasn't too keen on what I said. So I get the feeling this is going to be a different kind of match, a different kind of Johnny Gargano than people have seen before. And, again, it seems like every time I'm in there, there's some kind of war going on. But it's going to keep the crowd's attention, that's for sure.
Yes, it definitely is. Okay, so Drew Galloway is here with us. 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. This is Wednesday, and as you know, if you haven't tuned in on Wednesday before, we'll just dumb it down for you. You can ask up to three questions. You can make up to three comments. You can combine them, as in one question and two comments. But at the end of the day,
that's a magic number.
And this show is still what we in the States call PG, supposed to be minivan friendly, according to my boss.
While we're waiting for our next caller, we'd like to remind you folks calling in to, well, keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
All right, so Drew Galloway is brave enough to talk to you, so let's see what you've got out there. We're going to kick things off tonight in the 814 area code. 814, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Drew Galloway.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
How are you doing, Ryan?
Good. First question for Drew is...
All right.
Hi, Drew. My first question for you is, what are the chances you could defend the TNA title against someone from either NXT or WWE, since you worked for Evolve, and Evolve has a somewhat of a working agreement with WWE right now?
I would say there's going to be a lot of things you don't expect in wrestling in 2016, because as there already has been. Like you pointed out, I was Evolve champion for a year. When WWE got involved, people thought I'd be gone. We won the tag team titles, and you know, I said a few things at the recent show, and I'll strongly suggest everyone to check out my Twitter to check out that promo. Basically, I was TNA champion tagging with Johnny Gargano, who works with NXT, which is something people probably didn't think they would ever see. And I said a few things about, you know, NXT and WWE, you know, nothing bad, just that I put the company on my back, put it on the map, and no one's going to take my glory away from putting Evolve on the map, you know, just a few heelish things, let's say. But it's a lot of things that you would never normally expect as a wrestling fan. Things like that are going to keep happening, and I'm fortunate enough to be a guy in that position and the things I've been through over the years. They can say these kind of things. They can create exciting, you know, television shows and keep people wondering, wow, can you say that? What's going to happen next? And you can expect that from every company this year, because everybody's working together and everybody's trying to put on the best shows, and it's just going to work out best for the fans and us.
Yeah, my second question
is,
I'm fine. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, my second question is about the TNA headquarters. How often do the wrestlers get to the headquarters? Like, just when you, like, sign, like, a contract, or what's the deal with that?
I've only been once. I signed my contract literally the day I debuted, about 2 hours before I hit the ring in Glasgow, Scotland. And I went along one time to film a few things at the TNA studio. If any of y'all saw it, it was the live broadcast from the, what was that thing where you can go live, Periscope, where I went crazy and just went on a tour because I'd never been there before. So I went live on the internet and just took a tour and tried to interrupt creative meeting and throw some ideas in there about Drew being champ, perhaps.
And my final question is, since you're the champion, I know, like, every year these videos surface on YouTube about WrestleMania having, like, Illuminati symbols. Were you ever pressured into giving, like, any hand signals or wear, like, certain trunks that, like, resembled anything, like, as far as Illuminati, you know?
Yes, yes, Drew. What is the connection between Vince McMahon and the Illuminati?
I don't know. It's Mr. Peanut Butter last time I heard. I have not heard that before. I'd be interested to find out more, I guess. Pressured into wearing symbols, eh? Oh, it's not pressured anywhere. 13-14 of my ass.
You know who does wear Illuminati symbols and a lot of that, that does wrestle for WWE? The Ascension. A lot of those.
Yeah, maybe they're part of the Illuminati. I don't know. Maybe because I'm not cool enough. Maybe not privileged enough for that information.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and Google this so we can if we get a slow point here we can go over it. But thanks, Ryan. Thank you for your questions.
Okay. Thanks, Sheree. Thanks, Pat.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for coming. That was different. That's going to keep me on my toes. I'm so full of energy right now. I literally walked in this hotel room and tried to call y'all, and I'm just buzzing right now.
I can hear you. All right, 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We'll look at the, yep. Okay, so, but you have never been asked to, you were never asked while you were in WWE to perform any occult rituals, to give any secret hand signs or anything like that on camera?
Oh, no. Unless you consider slaughtering goats and chatting things together. Weird. Then no.
Yeah.
No, we're getting weird questions. No, of course not.
No, okay. So, all right. We'll save our speculation on that for some other point in the program. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, these questions are okay. The questions in the email are not really for Drew per se. There's stuff about. There's stuff about what are the chances of WWE buying TNA? Well, I don't think that they. I mean, I don't think TNA is selling right now to WWE, or at least not to anybody. At least, yeah. I mean, let's put it. You don't have any information about the financial status of the company other than, you know, when your checks arrive.
Like, all I know is what I read. Yeah, what I read online is generally not true. I feel like I don't know where a lot of information is coming from. At least for me, anyway. You know, they are very motivated. about things going forward, and I can tell you that 100%. I've seen it with my own eyes. The roster's beyond motivated, and there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up, and I can tell management are not letting the company go anywhere. Like, I can assure everybody of that, and it is an exciting time to be part of the company, and just, you know, everybody stay the course. So I guess there's no point. The way I look at it is, if you like wrestling, don't be negative. Just don't watch, or just give it a chance, because I do genuinely believe the product, since it's been on Pop TV, has been like very good and high quality, and just give it a shot. And if you got nothing good to say, don't say anything. It just hurts wrestling. What's the point?
Okay, so let's see here. I might do the... I'm looking at... I made the mistake of looking up WWE and Illuminati conspiracies, and there's an article about the resemblance between the bearded Daniel Bryan and the goat god Baphomet. I'm not really familiar with my goat gods, but... obviously, we're going to be tracking that, and I'm sure we'll get back to it later. Now, you have been defending the one of your goals is to defend the TNA title all over the world. So you did that recently in the UK, I understand.
Yes, as I say, I'm currently here, and the reason I'm so amped up right now is I was filming something that I can't put any details with for a London-based TV company, the biggest one. And I was literally just doing fight scenes for 8 hours and promos for 8 hours, and I just made it back to the hotel to call. And that's been the cool thing about this past week. I've been able to do some mad stuff, including defend my TNA title. First in Bristol, England last week. And thankfully, thanks to Dave Lagana, pointed out there's a new thing on Facebook called Facebook Live, which is kind of like Periscope, but even better. And I just had the mad idea to... use it as part of my entrance. He pointed out to me I used it in ICW as part of my entrance. Then I decided, this is something, you know, I'm very determined about and excited about, to take the TNA title around the world and put on some high quality matches with the top talent around the world. And I want the fans to join in the experience. So I filmed the entrance of the first defense of Bristol last week. I'm going back to Scotland tomorrow night for a show on Friday, where I'll be doing the same thing. I'll be live from Glasgow, from Kilmarnock, Scotland. It's already sold out 2 weeks in advance. That's going to be crazy, during the entrance there in my hometown. And then on Sunday in Plymouth, England, I'll be defending the title there also. And then I'll be jumping back to America, and we're lining up some title shots in America. It's getting pretty crazy. Pretty much I have no life right now. My fiance never, ever sees me. And, you know, she's accepted that Drew's one of the busiest wrestlers in the world. And, you know, that's pretty cool of her, because I am never home ever.
Okay, yeah. You also made your PWG debut earlier this year when you showed up and defeated Jack Evans. That's the West Coast. You're on the East Coast. You know, for TNA, is there a wrestler right now who gets to travel more than you do?
If you consider maybe the Young Bucks, for instance, because of the flights back and forth to Japan.
Yeah.
Like, they probably travel distance-wise. But, yeah, like, different companies, different countries, I'd certainly say I'm the busiest right now. I'm very fortunate to be the busiest, getting all these opportunities. People are trusting me enough to give me the ball, and it's up to me to finish it. And I've been very fortunate to have these great opportunities. Like you mentioned, the PWG was one I was really looking forward to having the opportunity to do, and thankfully they gave me that opportunity in November at the Battle of Los Angeles, and I got to wrestle Speedball Bailey in my first match, and he's just phenomenal, and the crowd, you know, were awesome, and like, just one of the best crowds I've ever been in front of my entire life, if not the best. And then they thankfully gave me the please come back afterwards, and that meant the absolute world to me, just having all these unique opportunities just to, you know, try and just show what I can do, like, not just in the ring, but on the microphone, and just every way, just, you know, be a wrestler and do it my way and be Drew Galloway, and to be accepted by like the most hardcore fans is just something that means just the absolute world to me. And I can't thank everybody enough.
Okay, we have a question from the chat room from our man Chicky Singer, who asks, Drew, what was the best decision Stephanie McMahon made while you were in the WWE? Okay, I wouldn't know that. Let's see.
She made a lot of good decisions.
What's that?
Said, I'm sure she made a lot of good decisions. I'm not privy to what goes on in all the meetings in WWE, so I'm sure a lot of people made a lot of good decisions, but you'll never know who actually made it. But I know she's worked under her dad her entire life. There's no way she's not learned a thing or two.
I would certainly expect so. So, I mean, did you get to interact with her a lot when you were in WWE?
Oh, yeah, whenever she was around. Like, all the McMahons was just very approachable, very confident. It's cool to see Shane back. I only actually saw him when I first went to America, when I was, 22, just turned, and Shane was still there, and just, like, he was, like, the coolest one, but, like, they're all just so confident, but so approachable at the same time. So they're a fantastic bunch, and they literally live and breathe this business in every possible way. I'm not just saying that because I have to, or I feel like I should, or anything. They legitimately live and breathe this business.
No, I mean, that is their lives. That certainly is a fair statement. Okay, let's look at the next question from the chat room is, what is the best perk of being TNA champion? He's asking about, do you have your own locker room, your own private jet? Let's put it this way. What's the best part of being the TNA champion?
Just the fact that I'm world champion just means like the absolute world to me. Like, it's just really as simple as that. I've been lucky enough to get all these opportunities since I've been gone from WWE. I took the Evolve title and the ICW title from Scotland around the world, defended them in multiple countries, and they became kind of recognized within those companies as world titles since I did that, which meant a lot to me to build the title up. So I always think that the title shouldn't make the man should make the title. But when I won the TNA title as a world title, it meant the world to me, but I also had the same attitude. I was like, wow, okay, this is a title that's going to struggle to bring up, and I'm going to take this opportunity and be different than everyone else. So what can I do to be different? I travel the world. I wrestle in all these different promotions. That's what I can do. I can just be Drew Galloway, and hopefully TNA will allow me to talk about it in social media and hopefully talk about it on television. And they were nice enough to say, yep, Drew, just go out and be yourself. That's the world champion you're going to be. I want to be the first traveling world champion since Ric Flair in the NWA era and take that title all over. Oddly enough, during WrestleMania week, I was visiting with a Finley family I'm close with, and I ended up at Ric Flair's dinner, which is pretty cool. So I wanted to tell him that, but I'm going to wait just till I get it over a bit more, and then I'll tell him. But I ended up at dinner, and I didn't realize they were all going to wear tuxedos and everything, so I showed up to see the Finleys, and everyone's in tuxedos in this nice restaurant, and Drew shows up in a hoodie and jeans on. I was like, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding me. Of course everybody's wearing tuxedos at Ric Flair's dinner. Now I'm walking in like a scumbag. So that was a fun night.
Okay.
But yeah, being world champion is just the cool part. EC3 talked about all these perks I've not actually seen, but I'm just happy with the title.
Right. Okay. Now you recently gave an interview to Sports Illustrated, big magazine over here, and you got engaged about 2 months ago. That sounds exciting. You mentioned that your fiance never sees you. When did you decide that? Yes, I want. This woman's the one for me. This is what I want.
Probably a while ago. It's just got to give it time because it is a very difficult business.
Yeah.
Don't want to go, jumping in there. It has been about 3 years now we've been together, and. She was with me when I was in WWE. She didn't know I was in it for a while. She was not into athletes, so I just avoided the topic of it. And she said, I'm not into athletes for a while. And then she saw the ad and she saw the independence. She's been there the whole time. And, we've had ups and downs, but, she's been strong through the whole thing and kept us together and is building our future at home while I'm away. And I decided after the PWG show, let's meet in Vegas. And then we jumped to the Grand Canyon, up to collection, and by golly, I'm engaged.
At the Grand Canyon. Okay.
Grand Canyon. Right at the bottom of it. Right away from everybody. The pilot went crazy because he couldn't find us. I didn't want to do it in front of everybody, so I took her away the farthest area you can get to. So the pilot couldn't find us. And he was on a deadline, so he was freaking out trying to find us. Or they would have to have left us at the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
That's a long climb back up. At least that's what I hear.
That's grand. There's a tribe down there. I just joined the tribe. Started a wrestling company. It's all gimmicks.
Yep. There you go. The article, they talk about the comparison between you and Roman Reigns. Now, Roman is, you guys have similar size, but you've got more experience than Reigns does, at least of a national level. Is that, you know, is that something that you've thought about? Is, you know, maybe at some point I can face the guys, you know, the guys in WWE that weren't around the first time that I was there.
But you never know what the future holds. Like, I often get misquoted in these interviews. Like, I know in that particular interview, I made sure I corrected it right away. It said something about, I made a comment about TNA's in-ring style in the past wasn't great, which I certainly would never have said, because the in-ring style was the best part of the show. It was certain people were out for themselves. That was the bad part of the show. That was certainly wrong. So I looked at it and went, I didn't say that. And then, like, certain things about comments about wanting to be, like, back. You know, that was the plan initially, but the way things are going right now, like, I'm where I need to be right now, and if I'm able to make a difference in the companies I'm going to, I'm exactly where I need to be right now. If one day the time's right and I do go back, there are plenty of storylines there. Obviously, the chosen one that was put in the band, that was fired, that was lucky enough to do all the things I've done since I've been gone and come back to terrorize McMahon's or whatever. There's stuff there, but... right now, I'm exactly where I need to be. I'm very fortunate to be TNA World Champion. I'm very fortunate to have these opportunities around the world and to be a guy that can make a difference to a company. WWE, unless your name's John Cena, you're not making a difference to the company. The machine goes on. And I've got unlimited people that have not wrestled before to wrestle. Because when I was there and I was doing the IC title run, etc., I only wrestled SmackDown guys, strictly. Right. So there's still all the Raw guys I didn't get to wrestle. Sheamus and I never got the feud. So there's an unlimited amount of guys. Like you just said, it's essentially the entire roster.
Okay, well, that is hard to believe. You know, going back to something you were talking about briefly, has anybody from TNA ever asked you not to mention something, or after the fact said, you know, I wish you'd say it differently?
No, they literally gave me free reign and trust me to do and say what I want. I'm generally very honest. Like, I'm not going to say anything I don't believe. If it's something very negative, I'm probably going to try and avoid talking about it if it's very personal. But they, you know, trust my judgment. I would never, like, say anything bad, certainly not about them. They've done everything times a thousand. They said when they brought me in, John Kavar Big said, I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm going to let you be yourself. And he's stuck to his word just times a thousand. They really do trust me to do my thing. And they would never say anything when I say anything in interviews, because I'm just 100% honest all the time. And that's, you know, not my character. That's the real Drew Galloway. Like, the guy you see on TV, you know, sometimes I get a bit carried away if I'm talking about playing, like, you know, Hardy Boy, if I'm tagging with Jeff, whatever. But I can't help it. I was a big Hardy market as a kid, so people don't like that. They don't like it. But generally, thankfully, people appreciate it, because in the end, we're all friggin' marks. I mean, I just took it too far.
Yeah, and your feud with Matt, you know, your matches with Matt actually go back to your time in WWE. So, you know, that's things have changed a little since then. But I don't know if Matt Hardy, you know, likes being reminded. Hey, I was just a kid when I was watching, you know, Matt and Jeff wrestle.
So, oh, he loves his stories. I love reminding him all the time. But also, I enjoy his stories because he started so young, like myself. But he was, you know, one of the Hardy Boys during the Attitude Era. He often gets people coming up to him who are his age or older than him, going, man, I watched you when I was a kid. I said, what age are you, man? So, I'm 40. I'm the same age as you, man. How did you watch me as a kid? Since he's been doing it so long, people just assume he's a lot older.
That's a fair point. Okay, one more chat room question here. Let's see. Question is, what is the process of getting approved to defend the world title, the TNA title, outside of TNA?
They're very, very trusting. They always have been with me, and me making, you know, the judgment call of where to defend it. And I'm not going to do it anywhere that I don't think it shouldn't be. It should be defended. You're not going to catch me at some outdoor flea market defending it, or, you know, disrespecting it in any way. Any situation I put the title in, I think it's going to cause attention with social media or wrestling in general, or it's going to be an opponent that's going to have a hell of a match, and it's going to cause a bit of buzz as well and get people talking. Said I would never put the title in a situation where I don't think it belongs.
Right. Okay. So it gets back to trust again.
So yeah, absolutely. Like, I would never, ever do anything to disrespect that title, that's for sure. If it's ever in a situation where, you know, it's a little bit rowdy in Scotland or wherever it happened to be, you know, maybe not reacting the way we'd react in TNA, that's strictly getting attention. It does get attention. But everything I do is for the betterment of the title and the company.
Okay. All right, 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We have more with TNA World Heavyweight Champion Drew Galloway after this commercial timeout. This is the PW Torch Livecast.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else, editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on earth. People.
All right, got a lot of commercials to read through in a short amount of time, so let's get on with it. The live cast is brought to you by Audible. If you like audiobooks, and many of you do, go check out audible.com. It's owned by Amazon. Over 180,000 audiobooks from all the top authors are there. It doesn't matter whether you're looking for John Grisham, Stephen King, James Patterson, or whether you're looking for, say, Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley. They're all there. You go to audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch, sign up, get the first book free, $14.95 a month to be a member, pick out one book a month, any book you want. Listen however you want, exchange any book you don't like, no questions asked, and cancel at any time. It's all very simple. It's audible.com because you shouldn't have to learn the alphabet to be able to read. Also, we get to tell you about Loot Crate. That's right. The theme this month on Loot Crate just happens to be Quest. You go to lootcrate.com. For less than $20, including shipping here in the United States, you get an absolute crate full of gamer goodies. For example, last month's crate was Versus, I think. Was it Versus? Yeah, you got the... those who subscribe got the Star Trek Mirror Mirror shirt, a Daredevil beanie, a Predator figurine, Harley Quinn comic book, and a Batman versus Superman paper wallet that was probably better than the actual film. Or you can get the, or you can actually go back and get previous month's Loot Crate. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, to subscribe and receive that month's crate when the cut off happens. That's all, folks. And enter the code pwtorch.com if you're subscribing for the first time, and you'll save yourself $3 on any crate from Loot Crate. And there's something else I have to plug here, and I get stuck here about halfway through these plugs, and I forget when I'm going. What is that? Let me think here. Oh, yes, the newsletter, pwtorch.com/govip. Become a VIP member. Get all of the wrestling news. Get the exclusive VIP-only podcasts like the pre-show, which James Caldwell and I taped right before we went on the air tonight. pwtorch.com/govip, $10 a month, $99 a year, all the newsletters and PDF files, an ad-free VIP website, and there's just so much. The Bruce Mitchell audio show, there's the Fix with Todd Martin, there's the Wayback Playback Jim Valley and I do every weekend where we do running commentary for the WWE Network, even though they don't always appreciate it. Go ahead and subscribe now, pwtorch.com/govip. You'll be glad you did. And we are back with Drew Galloway, the TNA Heavyweight Champion. Next week on this program, sadly, we do not have Drew Galloway. We do, however, have New Japan's English language commentator, Mr. Steve Carino. Hopefully he will provide us with some analysis as to what's going on over in New Japan. Drew, again, welcome back with the welcome back to the program. Let's see what other questions. Oh, here we go. Question is from Amir from France, and Amir asks via email what your thoughts are on the debut of the Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson from the Bullet Club this past Monday on Raw.
Well, I wouldn't say much else other than I may have been texting somebody during the commercial break saying my opinion of it. So let's just say it's a good thing. And I'm very, 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 very happy because they are friggin' awesome.
Yeah, and his next part is whether we think it compares to the debut of Hall and Nash, the Outsiders, in WCW 20 years ago. That was a little different time. Plus, you know, there are probably fewer hints that Hall and Nash were going to debut on Nitro than there were about Anderson and Gallows showing up on Raw. But it's a big signing with two big talented guys. I hope that it becomes significant. In context of what WWE is doing, and it'll be fun seeing them. Take on the Usos, the Dudleys, and the other teams. 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Okay, so let's see. You've had an incredible career already, Drew Galloway. You hold the championship. You want to make the championship, you want to make the championship better recognized, perhaps more significant than it already is. What other goals do you have in your career? I mean, you've been wrestling for a long time, you've just hit 30.
I've unlimited goals. I make them up as I go along with the way I've found the best way to do it. Over the years, as you mentioned, I'm 30 now. I've started when I was 15. I'm on my 15th year. I've never had a real job. I've been damn lucky and just achieved every short-term goal.
I can tell you that those are overrated. You don't really, So congratulations.
Cheers. But, I've been very fortunate to smash a lot of short-term goals that I had thanks to people giving me the opportunity. I'm sure we talked about it last time, and since then there's been even more opportunities that people have just believed in me or saw what I've been doing and, gave me the ball with their company and allowed me to, try and finish it. And I just kept setting new ones, and the world title was, really where I wanted to get to in the long term, and I've got there a lot sooner than I thought. So I set the goal of taking it around the world, and I've been to Mexico, had some cool matches. I guess, Japan's on the list as well. Like, I'd like to combine what I'm doing right now along with doing something in Japan. Like, all I hear is, like, since I left WWE, and Jericho told me on his podcast, the first thing I did outside of WWE was, you got to get there, especially right now where they're looking for big guys. But, I need to find a way to make it work with what I'm doing right now. Said I wouldn't be willing to leave what I'm doing right now. And just, I really want to get over there and, get in about it, because it is a style I love. And so many, buddies over there and so many guys that were there. And it's definitely somewhere I've yet to conquer. And it's on the list of things that Drew Galloway has to do.
Okay. So getting back into, what's more practical, you're taking the title all over the world. Who would you like to defend it against, other than that you haven't defended it against already?
Ooh, that's a good question. So everyone that I had in my list keeps disappearing to WWE at the moment. So my list, my list changes all the time. But there is plenty of people around the world. Fortunately, the scene right now is just unbelievable. I'm sure I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Like, when I left the UK, there was nothing going on. There was about 20 of us that I saw on a regular basis, aside the older guys who've been doing it forever. And I didn't know anything about the US scene aside what I watched with, like, the AJs and the Daniels and Samoa Joes and whatnot on tapes, and what I happened to see when they were in the UK. And then I went to WWE for the 8 years I was there, and I kept my finger on the pulse, but it's hard to appreciate it if you're not actually there. And I made my comeback, and I just saw the size of the crowds compared to the 100 people would be an amazing house for us before I left. to the sold out 2,000 people every single show now for certain promotions across the UK, and the level of talent, which is unbelievable. And then I did like Evolve, for instance, in my first match, and I watched the show and I was like, oh my God, I'm on last and I've not had a 30-minute match for about 2 years. So that was a quick kick in the butt. I won the title on the first night. Thankfully, you know, Chris Hero was in there and was, you know, able to help me along that night because I wasn't quite where I needed to be. But that gave me the kick in the butt I needed, like being main event in Evolve and main event in the UK with a level of talent in both companies. That really sped up my process of getting my in-ring shape back up and really motivated me to show what I could do. So generally, for the people that come out of the company, I'll be painted with, you know, the brush. If they're not really seeing what you can do, I'll be, oh, he's just one of the guys who looks the part or whatever. He should live in some man likes or whatever the usual comments are online. You know, I really wanted to show, you know, I'm not just that guy. I'm a guy who legitimately loves this, and I'm going to fight and fight and fight, and no matter what, and I'm always going to do this wrestling thing. And hey, that's, you know, I guess the reason that fans have stuck with me and a few more people have got behind me is they see that I'm not a BSer. Like, everything I say, I 100% mean. You know, I love this, and I'll fight for it, and I give my body to it, and my life to it, and I have, and I always will.
Yeah, you raise a good point about the UK wrestling scene, because I remember when you were signed and when Sheamus was signed, there were a lot of people here going, okay, who are these, you know, who are these guys? What do they see in them? Until obviously you got the television exposure. But I mean, a couple of weeks ago in Dallas, you had Will Ospreay and you had Marty Scurll, and people were just and Zack Sabre Jr., who've been watching for a few years, and people raved about the quality of what they do, and rightly so. What do you think has brought out the increased exposure for wrestling in the UK, other than maybe the internet and people able to watch stuff a lot easier?
I think it's just time. Like, when I started, like I say, there was nothing. Like, there was literally no wrestling schools, actually. Myself and Mark Dallas, the ICW promoter, met at a train station in Glasgow when I was still 14 at the time. Because some guy said he had a wrestling school, and we went along to train there, and turned out the guy knew absolutely nothing. That was the first time I ever met Dallas, so we were the, you know, original guys of, like, UK wrestling, pretty much, at that time. And then I found a wrestling school in England called the FWA, where, you know, AJ and Daniels would always do, Doug Williams was the big star at. And I used to travel the 12 hours on the train to do training when I was 15. And that's what it took back then, because there was nothing. And then as the years went by, you know, I helped train the guys in Scotland, just showing them what I was learning in England to just try and get some guys going, some young guys going, because there was just nobody. And then as the years went by, they had one TV show in Ireland called Irish Whip Wrestling that was on a channel called The Wrestling Channel. And the feud started with me and Sheamus. That was the big European feud at the time, just because it was on the one TV show. And so Sheamus and I became close and took our feud across Europe. And Wade Barrett was in my faction. They feuded against Sheamus. We were called the Foreign Legion. Oh, yeah, actually, Pierre Marceau. He wrestled as Marcel Luis in NXT. He was also in my faction. Myself,
Marcus
Wade,
Luis,
and
yeah.
Marcel, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep, okay. It was the three of us against Sheamus, and I won the title off Sheamus back in the day, and then we all got signed aside. Marcel at the time went to America, and there was literally nobody, and I think just that time period, just more people kept training and getting better, and then more people came in that were just wanting to learn and just kept getting better. And just over time, you know, everybody wanted it enough. And suddenly when I came back, as you just mentioned a few of the top names there, the scene was just absolutely on fire. And like I see those guys you mentioned on a weekly basis, I was jumping all these countries by myself. And then I noticed that Marty and Will especially, and Zach, I was seeing them in like five different countries in 5 weeks. So I was like, this is amazing. Like, I can't believe how great UK wrestling. And Tommy Enzo is another one, like, for European wrestling, just all these guys showing up wherever I go, and they're just so talented. And there's plenty more guys out in the UK right now people haven't even seen or heard of yet, but they're going to, because there's so many right now.
Yeah, actually, isn't Marcel one of the new signees to TNA?
He is. Himself and I don't want to call him his old NXT name, LaFort, I believe was his NXT name. But yeah, I saw them.
Marcus,
in the ring, during their tryout, and watched them talk. And, you know, I've seen bits and pieces on NXT. I've not seen him for 10 years, wrestle. But I watched what they did at TNA, and I listened to their promo. And they've got a lot to offer. So they had more heat than a lot of people on the show. I mean, it helps being foreign, but it also helps being talented. And they've been through the system. Yeah. Like, you can't get an education in wrestling like you can in WWE. Like, the things I know now, the way I wrestle now, the way I think now, the way I conduct myself, is just because of the education I received there. So you do get the best wrestling education and the tools to succeed. And if you're not able to apply them, then the job isn't for you.
As a matter of fact, I would guess that being talented now is even more important than being foreign.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Actually,
we do have a question for you via email. This one comes in. Thank you. This one comes in from Valentina from Cardiff, who asks, "How do the American crowds differ from the UK crowds in reaction?"
A little different. Like PWG is like a UK crowd, like a rowdy UK crowd. But a lot of the shows, the fans are very respectful, very knowledgeable, but they aren't, you know, going wild from beginning to end. Like the UK crowds are like soccer crowds. Have you ever watched a soccer match before? Like especially a rival at Manchester United, Manchester City, for instance. When they play each other, the crowds are chanting for the whole match. They're getting drunk. They're getting wild. They're heckling their players they don't like. They're cheering the particular players they do like. They have the songs for the individual players as well as the team, etc. That's the UK crowd. It's a very big football mentality, and that's what PWG reminds me of. It's just they're very emotionally and vocally invested for the entire show. And that's pretty cool. But it's also cool to watch the crowds when they're just watching. Like, it's almost like, you know, not Japanese crowd, but almost like Japanese crowd, where if you go from the UK and you've done a couple of weeks and you're used to the crowd going mental from beginning to end, and then they're not quite going as mental after the entrances are over, and you look into the crowd and you just see them sitting watching. That's also a cool feeling when you see them sitting there just intently watching. They're not playing on their phones or talking to each other. It's just a different kind of feel, and you get used to it, and you're able to judge the crowds and adjust your style appropriately once you get used to it. Not let it affect you like a lot of people do in Britain when they wrestle in front of the crowds for the first time and say, "I think I was, you know, not very good tonight because it weren't very loud." I was like, next time, just watch the faces. Trust me, they're watching. They're just reacting differently.
Yeah, if they're throwing a beach ball around in the crowd, that's probably not a good sign.
No, absolutely not. I'm chanting for a commentator, that's probably not a good sign either.
No, that's definitely not a good sign. All right, Valentina also asked, that photo you posted today, what exactly were you doing on your interesting day?
Like I said at the beginning, the reason I was so amped up for the first 20 minutes, hopefully everybody understood me okay. So I'm in the UK, my accent gets a little bit thicker, and I did literally do 8 hours on set, let's say. But all I can say is it's something to do with the biggest TV network in the UK, helping out with something. And on my days off, I'm lucky enough to have these opportunities to just, try different things, think outside my comfort zone, and just, have a laugh at anything. Today was a good experience. I can't go much into more detail than that, but let's just say you might see something popping up on the interweb if you're from America, or on television if you're from the UK.
Okay, you'll let everybody in on it when the time comes. I understand. Okay, so now FCW was the predecessor to NXT, and you were, you not only got to be the Florida, you were their champion, and you and Wade Barrett, or Stu Sanders as he was known, were their tag team champions a couple times.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, the story is that Wade Barrett or Stu, he's leaving in a couple months when his contract is up, although I don't know exactly how true that is. Is there a possibility that you guys could end up tagging together? You guys didn't burn any bridges with each other.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't know anything about that. All I know is we'll be having some beers soon. That's all I can say.
So, that's good.
But everything that your man said in the last call, if he doesn't get edited out, is I'm assuming he actually does know me and was around, because everything he said was accurate. About the Steve Kern thing. He really developed Stu and I, the aggressives, and Sheamus as well, the three of us. He saw something in us all with the aggressive style. He really helped bring it out of us. So that was pretty cool of him. And I'll be seeing Sheamus and Wade very soon. But everything else, who knows? It's an exciting time to be in wrestling.
That's true. They're in England, I think, for several days. So yeah, might. And in fact, they're in London Monday. So there you go. If you go back and look, if you can look on YouTube and a lot of the FCW shows from 2011 and 2012, you can still find them up there if you know where to look, I guess. Let's see. So.
Also, if you find out where to look, can you tweet them to me? Because I don't know where to look. I'd like to watch them. So if you find that out, let me know.
All right. Oh, let's try another caller. Not the same caller. We're going to go to the 336 area code. 336, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Galloway.
Luke Meyer, Mitchell Country. How are you?
Okay. How you doing? This is Britt from North Carolina. How can we help you, Britt?
Sorry. I got to meet Drew back in 2014, rather, in Salem. He is the nicest guy, a very nice guy. And we just wanted to ask, Drew, you take great care of yourself. When you have a cheat day, is there a certain food that you just stuff into your face on your cheat day and you just can't resist?
Yeah, well, first off, thank you very much for the compliments and being a nice guy. The way I look at it is there's no point of being an ass. Like, why would you ever be nasty to anybody, no matter the situation, especially a wrestling fan, to somebody that watches your work, pays your bills? No matter how tired you are, you can still say hi. So thank you for that. But yeah, I don't really have a diet in particular. I was talking about it today when I was filming the thing I was just doing. They were running about trying to get me like chicken breasts and stuff, and they were saying they were just getting pizza for all the guys there, and I was like, I'll have pizza, I don't mind. Said I try to eat fairly clean, but I try to eat a lot. It just depends what kind of look I feel like I should go for at that particular time. Sometimes I feel like, you know, getting a bit leaner, and I'll just cut my carbs a little bit, and it happens pretty quick, thankfully, just because genetically, and I do train very hard when I train. And if I feel like I want to be a little bigger, like right now, like I kind of look, the way I wrestle and stuff, I kind of like being a little bigger. So I'll just eat a bit more and I'll just watch the mirror, basically. And I kind of judge by that. And I can adapt my diet just slightly and just eat a little less if I want to get a little leaner, and just eat a little more if I want to get a little bigger. But there's nothing in particular. Like, I ate a double burger and a giant pizza tonight over like for lunch and dinner. My breakfast was pretty healthy. But yeah, so today I guess would be a cheat day, but I could also eat that tomorrow. So. Even if you want, just train hard. That's true as it fits.
God bless you. Continued success. You're a great person.
So thank you, buddy. Okay. I really appreciate that.
All right. We appreciate you calling in, Brett. Okay, we've got about 90 seconds to go in the program. Drew, first of all, I want to thank you again for being on the show and for showing up at the very late hour in London. Can you tell all of your fans listening how they can keep track of you via various social media?
I guess Twitter is the main one, although hopefully it doesn't disappear. I keep hearing things about Twitter not being the main one anymore. That's at Galloway Speaks. You'll find me there. At Facebook, I believe you'll find me at Drew Galloway 1314. And I have an Instagram now, which is Drew Galloway 1985. But all that information is on my Twitter, at Galloway Speaks. You can find everything on there. And my Facebook page, if you want to keep up with where I am with the TNA title, get on there, check it out. It's going live on Friday and Sunday. If you want to see what's happening, the exact moment it happens, the videos will be going live this weekend, so keep your eye on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and thank you for that. Drew will be on Impact Tuesday nights on Pop TV, and Impact tapings are next week in Orlando. You can get ticket information at impactwrestling.com. And on Evolve, May 6th and 7th, and we look forward to seeing a lot of you wrestling in the over the course of the next few months, and hopefully we'll have you back on again later this year, and you're still the champ.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for having me again. Always have a blast. Sorry about all the energy at the beginning. So I'm amped up. It's 2 a.m. and I'm not going to be sleeping for a while, I assume, in London here. I'm going to be sitting awake with all this adrenaline from this chat here. So thank you, and I look forward to being back on. Take care of yourself.
All right. Well, thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. And thanks to all of you who stuck with us here. Next week, Steve Carino's on. Tomorrow, Wade Keller has another big interview. So tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. London time for that one. Until then, this is Pat McNeil reminding all of you to keep your feet on the ground and keep shooting for the stars. Good night, everybody.
another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
Sit, Boo Boo, sit. Good dog.